afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. How are you? Did you have a good Easter holiday or whichever holiday you celebrate at this time of year? Springtime, resurrection time, new flowers, new shoots, new possibilities, new self. Did you celebrate all that? This is Veronica Entwistle. You have tuned in to Radiance by Design. Just a sec. This is a bit weird. Yeah. Hang on. The headset is too loud. Thank you. You've tuned into Radiance by Design, and this is a call-in show. This is a call-in show all about you and what it takes in your life, in my life, in many lives, to become more and more radiant, to be able to manifest. We're human beings, we know that, but we're the most amazingly magical critters at a time on the planet where we're learning to move out of the consensus-limiting consciousness and move into a very expanded consciousness, being able to create and manifest a reality we really believe in. We've heard for years and years there comes a time on the planet where we're going to create heaven on earth. You know what? This might be that time. But I was just reading how, you know, the more you expand and grow and the more you really, really want to evolve, the more challenge you're going to get. Well, we've heard that for our whole lives, but it's important, at least for me, to hear that again so that when I get challenged, I don't think I did it all wrong. I just realize that in my process of refinement, I'm being challenged to see if I can hold that light. So we're going to take callers today, a whole bunch of callers, I hope. We're going to talk about life. Well, we're going to talk about the veil thinning. We started last week, and we had great callers, and we didn't finish the subject because it's an infinite subject. But I thought, well, we'll just talk about it again, the kind of influence we get from the other side of the veil, the way so many of us are using information that comes from the other side of the veil in order to improve our journey on this side. You know how we're moving toward a very rapid advancement on an authenticating process and becoming much more multidimensional. Well, a lot of us use information that comes from beings on the other side, whether it's beings from other dimensions or beings that have just passed through, or guides, angels, beings that I don't know if they're called in other dimensions. I guess they are. Maybe it's all the same, or whether it's ETs. I work with Jackie Salvitti and her wonderful team, and that show is called ET Healing and Exploration in Consciousness, because her team is very often made up of ETs. I haven't thought of mine that way, but I gather that they are as well. Who's in your team? Anyway, we're going to do calls today. We're going to talk about hearing voices from the other side, having visions. Oh, we already have a caller before we even do our meditation, but I'm going to take this call anyway. So, hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hello, Veronica.
Hi.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Well, it's okay. You're allowed to.
This is Lisa calling from California.
Hi, Lisa.
And I was just going to ask you if you saw anything in relationship to work for me this month.
Well, let's see here. You know, it's funny. It's really weird. I was talking about the other side, you know, the other side of consciousness or the other side of the veil and all of that. And it's quite cute because when I look at you at work right now, I see right behind you some kind of influence coming from your own guidance to move you. I don't think you're going to absolutely leave your job. Is that your plan, to leave your job?
No, but I'm self-employed.
Well, you've got somebody, some guidance pushing you to change the way you're employed. Do you know that?
I get that sense, even though I'm passionate about the work that I do, but...
Well, honey, I think you're going to actually expand and grow. I want you to do this, do a little bit of an exercise
okay. Inside
of yourself. And people at home could do this as well, is take a really close look at what you're doing, okay? And then back up, just back up as if it's a movie and just see the huge panorama of what you're doing and how it fits. That's what your guidance is trying to get you to do. There's something about the work that they want you to expand in your perception of it, and you will bring it in differently. And what is your work?
I'm a entertainer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a wonderful thing to be. Well, just let me take a look here. Okay, so basically what they're saying is that you have some new opportunities coming up, but a lot of it, you know this, that how we manifest has a lot to do with how we perceive things.
Mm-hmm.
And what you want to do is, again, open your vision and see how what you're doing fits into a larger picture. Because then you're going to aim for, maybe you've got, do you have an agent?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because maybe you're going to aim for a slightly different aspect of the market soon. And that's what I'm seeing is going to open your heart and really change. It's not your work that's going to change. It's the way it goes into the world that's going to change.
I see.
And you have strong guidance trying to push you. Now, if this is so, when, and this is another between the veil or the other side of the veil kind of information, if you want to use your guidance, even though you're not talking to them consciously, are you talking to them consciously?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. They are pushing, you feel that they're pushing you, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I feel very, very, very motivated.
Good.
Right now.
Well, okay. When I say to you that they're trying to push you directionally a little bit to expand, does that make sense to you?
Not exactly, because I don't think I'm clear on which direction I'm supposed to be going.
Okay, so it's time for a real surrender.
Okay.
They say
okay.
Just get into surrender, and the thing is when your guides are pushing you, if this is true that your guides are pushing you, when you give in and surrender, something is going to pop up, but it'll be like, oh, I didn't expect that. That's not what I had in mind. No, because your mind is being expanded so that you can hold something different in your mind.
Okay.
So I don't see you changing jobs. This is a recap. I don't see you changing jobs. I see you expanding your way of dealing with it and doing it slightly differently and being quite happy and having having several opportunities in that new section where you're going to be.
Well, I should just meditate on this, it seems like.
I think that you could do that, really be very practical, but I really want you to surrender because you're hanging tight with a certain perspective and you got to release that a little bit.
Got you.
Okay, because then you see easier, you know what I mean.
Okay.
Thank you for being my first caller, right,
yeah,
Donnie? Bye,
Lisa.
Continue
to listen. Bye.
Okay, bye. So that was an interesting call, just beginning to talk about the other side of the veil. It's the way our guides talk to us. Sometimes it's in words. You know, I'm a channel as well. I'm an intuitive. I'm a psychic. I'm all these different things. But guess what? They're all different. And sometimes the information comes through one way, and then it comes through another way. And sometimes it just plants itself in the form of experience before your very eyes. And then you have to do a little tap dance within yourself to grow into it or respond to it. But it never just comes because, at least for me, my channeling doesn't say, okay, go here, do this, do that. It's kind of metaphorical, and you get a little bit of a labyrinth, and sometimes you get it in feeling form, and sometimes you get it in direction through somebody else arriving and speaking the words themselves. But I'll tell you something, if you're feeling the urge to change, imagine that you're in a special garden place or a sanctuary of some sort that you love, and then imagine falling on your face at the feet of the divine and lay there flat on your face. Don't do it metaphysically, you bang your nose. Lay there flat on your face until you really know you've surrendered. And that way you drop some of your guards against new ideas and new information. And your guidance can come through easier, whether it's coming in the form of gifts, people, words, visions, smells. I sometimes get it in the form of smells. So I'm looking forward to talking to you today. Let's first do our energy meditation. I love to do this. It's a great place to go to create your own research lab where you can do manifestation practices, where you can do meditation, you can do healing work, and so on. We're going to do it a little bit differently today because I was just talking to the guides, and they were talking about when we do, you know, usually we create 2 to 4 miles above our heads, we create a golden ball, and it's a very beautiful, radiant golden ball. This time they say create 2, okay, and those balls are very, very close. There's only a small space between them. So up above your head, 2 to 4 miles, create 2 golden balls. That's right. And now, below your spine, just one, about 40 feet below your spine, create one golden ball. And now I'd like you to drop from the upper golden balls, two of them now, drop a open-topped, four-sided pyramid. Now, the top of the Grand Pyramid over in Egypt does open, doesn't it? Oh, it's flat on the top, okay. But to me, it has this space at the top where the sarcophagus was, isn't it? Just a sec, I'm listening to Bob here. The point is missing. Oh. That's what I thought. It's supposed to be open. Yeah, okay.
Not a hole.
Okay. All right, so the pyramid is shaped so that there is an opening for the energy. So the guides were saying to do leave the opening at the top. So we'll equate it to the big pyramid, and I'll get some more real-life detail for you on that, and some of you already know a lot about it. And drop from that a four-sided pyramid, and it's about waist high, about 20 feet out. And then upside down, another four-sided pyramid, and its point touches the lower golden ball. So now you're in an octahedron with an open top. Good. And now inside of that, you want to create a crystal ball. And it's very, 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 I find it kind of opaque and yet shimmering in color, all the spectral colors. And inside of that, see yourself in a disc, an absolutely beautiful disc, like a little spaceship, but it's made of crystal. It's a crystal disc, and you're inside of it. So you have a crystal ball, and now you're in a crystal disc, and it starts to spin. It spins really fast. And you can feel yourself spinning, spinning, and spinning. Okay. And then we have our magical screen in front of us. Actually, it's a crystal grid. They're correcting me here. It's a crystalline grid. And on that grid, you're going to place your little movies or your little holographic images of what it is you want. The first one is about you. It's a multidimensional version of you or whatever it is you want to be at this time. And see yourself there and just really experience yourself there. I always want to be multidimensional, so that's what I put there. And now the next image is about you and something you want to create. It can be a home and family. It can be a project. It can be a business. It can be a spaceship. It doesn't matter. What is it that you dream about that you want to create? Good. I don't want you to wrap that in light. Ask it to keep stewing there. And now we're going to do this little workspace here, and there you are. We're going to put ourselves up on the grid, and we're going to call in various lights. I want you to draw in a filament of gold light from the universe and bring it right down through your body, golden, and bring it right through your body as you stand there on the crystalline grid. Can you feel that? Now I want to change the color. First color that shows up for me is kind of a turquoisey blue. Which I think I really love that color. I love all colors, but anyway, this one's funny. It shows up and I realize I really resonate with it. So we draw in a filament that's made of this turquoise blue and it's just radiant. Oh, and we run it right through our body and feel the difference between the gold light and the blue light. And now we'll let our bodies know how to move these lights around so that everything has space. Don't worry about it. So let's call in a radiant pinky fuchsia color, a filament of light that comes in through this beautiful hole in the top of our structure. We left it specially for that, didn't we? Now we're going to amplify the impact of these radiances by bringing inside of ourselves. Yeah, there's the pink light in there. Oh, it feels different. It's even cooler. For me, it feels a different temperature. And it might not be the same for you as me, so don't worry about that. And now let's bring in a green one. Green. We're playing with these multidimensional colors. They're always stunningly bright. That's nice. A different pulse to it, doesn't it? Now we'll bring in the orange one. Call in the orange one. Excellent. And now the red one. Might want to drop the red one into your base chakra just for fun. That was nice. That was just the beginning. I'm not going to get rid of those colors. Let's just leave them there. And now let's open our Galactic Healing Center. That was just an example of how we can call in the frequencies we want. And did you feel them? I really felt them. They were just amazingly wonderful. So we're going to play with some healing work now. And let's call in our Galactic Healing Center. It's up on the grid. You can make it anything you want. It can be a tree house. It can be a huge spaceship. It can be just a little hospital. It can be a room. It can be a room with lights and glass. It doesn't matter. You make it up. And now we're going to call in our healing team, those beings of light, truth, consciousness, love, that work with us, and call in that team and have them move in a circle around this healing table or chair, whichever you choose. And now plop yourself on that table for a minute and ask for some healing. Sometimes they'll tell you what you need, or if you've got something bothering you, get on there and you ask them. And I asked them for a little help with my legs. I've had some strange leg stuff. And ask them if they have any advice for you, because they'll tell you something about your lifestyle and what it is you're trying to do. I'm not telling you what they're telling me. They're giving me a little lecture here. And then they're working my spine and my head as well. Feels really good. You can call and tell me what they did with you. Now wrap yourself in white. Wrap the whole scenario in light and ask it to continue its process. And we'll send it along its way, and then we continue with the next person. Who are you going to bring in to help at this point? Okay, and have that person come in and lie down. And we're asking them to show us what to do and what they want to do. Excellent. And then you look at what they do. Sometimes they'll vacuum things, sometimes they'll do surgery. Sometimes, in this case for me, they're stretching this person's body. So the vertebrae shift around quite a bit. Now see what else you need to do. Alright. And now wrap that person in light and ask that this healing process continue until its natural finish. Good. And then we'll bring in one more person. You can do a number of people, but we'll only do three because we're live on air. And that's what they will do. And so much as possible. Sometimes when you're doing healing on someone else, it's fun to check later to see how they feel. All right, now wrap that whole scenario in mind. Ask them to continue, please, so that it reaches its natural completion. And now let's do a political one, and then we're done with the healing room for now. Something politically that you'd like to see improved or made safe or changed or something. Whole political theme, we could put it on the bed, couldn't we? Because we're magical. We can do anything we want in the etheric. And I always ask here for a little extra energy to be sent to Obama and administration, that they maintain that etheric support and the encouragement to move the machine to a much higher consciousness, move the political, economic, and global machine to a much higher consciousness for the sake of all beings. And in gratitude, in love, we wrap it in light, and we let that be sent out there and carried on infinitely. And then we come back into our disc, and we thank your team for helping so much. They're so beloved, and they're so helpful. And come back into the disc, and then spin and spin and spin. Spin and spin. Excellent. And then we come back into the room. And I'd love you to call in with your questions, with the kinds of things you want to talk about. We've been talking about the other side of the veil, and these times are hugely changing on this planet. All we know is that we're headed toward 2012. And remember, a few weeks ago, I was referring to something by, his name is Barrios. I should have brought it with me today. But anyway, he was talking a lot about how he's done research about the coming times in 2012. And it's not the end of life as we know it. It's actually a time of tremendous change. And we have an opportunity at this time to really begin being ethical beings, being beings who are transcendent, being characters who really look after each other and Mother Earth. We can be that kind of a species. Oh, hot diggity. That would be great, wouldn't it? And what he said was, instead of air, wind, earth, and fire as being the major elements, he said the phase that we're moving into around 2012, it's probably already happened a great deal, is the etheric, and that the use of the etheric will be the main element. Now, I don't know whether we're all going to become transparent. There's this whole thing about transparency and political behavior and transparency and honesty and so on. But maybe it's a metaphorical statement that we're actually going to be see-through kinds of beings because we're going to be etheric. But the reality is that we can indeed do a lot of healing work right now with what we know by moving into the etheric. So I'd love you to call in about that. You already called. Good for you. Welcome. You're on the show.
Hi, Veronica. It's Beth from L.A.
Hi, Beth from L.A. How you doing?
Okay. I'm actually going through a lot right now, big changes in my life. And I'm feeling a little depressed about it, I guess, because it's just the changes, and I'm just trying to deal with it.
Well, I want to say just right off the bat, Beth, that you have an emotional a bit of emotional chaos going on inside of you. You know that, eh?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I really feel it.
We want to move the energy of that a little bit because manifest-wise, if you have a lot of emotional chaos, you're going to manifest chaotically.
Okay.
You understand that?
Yeah, completely.
So, so we're just going to take a minute here, and everybody at home, wrap yourselves in light, and you're going to do it too, right?
Okay.
We're going to call up Violet Fire, and we're going to have the Violet Fire move up through, let's do it through the base of your spine, and we're going to have the Violet Fire burn all the way up through your body. There you go. Something already shifted down at the belly area. The belly houses the subconscious, so it's really good when it shifts that fast. It means you're what they call mutable.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what mutable means?
No.
It means changeable, honey.
Oh, okay.
So if you've got your hands on that steering wheel, you can be a vehicle of changing out of confusion and into confusion real fast. Of course, it goes the other way, too.
Right.
And you also have a very strong guide behind you. Now, I want you to ask your question. You're much clearer for me right now.
Okay. Do you want me to ask a question?
Yeah.
My question was, does everybody have a guide? That's so funny.
Everybody does. Everybody has. My understanding is that we have specific guides that have worked with us all of our lives. But we also have guides that come in and specialize in certain things. You see what I mean? So you can call in the guide of performance, right? You also have a very, very strong kind of a male energy behind you, a masculine guide who's trying to pull you up through and help you be, to help you be strong in your sensitivity. He's saying that he works with you to help you strengthen yourself in your sensitivity. For your sensitivity is your greatest gift.
Yeah.
But it's a real pain in the neck to stay balanced, isn't it?
Extremely. Yeah.
But part of our evolution as a species is moving to a time where we're extremely, extremely sensitive. And he's right behind you, and he shows himself as a very, very, very sensitive, an expressive male guide, and he just stands behind you. And he's pushing you because he says that sometimes you don't do the work. Is that right, Beth?
Yeah, sometimes I just get so overwhelmed that I literally, like, almost freeze.
Yeah.
I just, like, don't know what to do, you know, where to go, what, how, you know, what I need to do. Just, I don't know, I get so overwhelmed.
But part of that sensitivity, honey, is an increase in your potential for overwhelm. Okay? But the thing is, you got to watch. Are you watching your diet?
I just started changing my diet where I'm eating a lot healthier again, and I quit smoking after a couple of days.
You're a very good girl. But the thing about your diet is when I look at you, I go, you have such a sensitivity, and this is the time where you're going to go through some very big changes. And if we talked in 10 years, you'd say, thank heaven I went through that. Okay? And
yeah.
They're saying that when you're in those times of deep sensitivity, you need to be really cautious about your diet. Because remember, and this is for everybody at home, food and food additives and sugars and beer and stuff, certain kinds of alcohol will fling your reactive energies all over the place. And you're a Libra, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, because your energy goes whip-wop, whip-wop, whip-wop as soon as you put the wrong stuff in it. And sometimes you can keep it balanced, but when you're going through such big changes, forget it. It's not going to stay balanced for you. You know?
Yeah,
and then you
feel
think
that.
Huh?
I definitely feel that.
Yeah, it's annoying, isn't it?
Yes.
But the reality is, if you looked at a rose bush and you wanted to cultivate it, you'd want to put the right stuff at its roots, wouldn't you?
That is so funny that you just said that, because I have a little tree, and this is what made me change, decide to, like, start eating healthy and stuff, because it's like, here it is, I'm constantly watering this plant, I'm giving it all this love, and everything is growing great, because it started dying, and now it's coming back to life, and I'm like, I need to do that for myself.
Yeah, you're right, actually. Isn't that interesting? Good for you that you got that image. And the thing is, you like beauty, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. And beauty is really, you're going to find in a few years' time that beauty is going to be one of your major, major, major focuses. I don't know what you're going to do. I know you're a performer, but there's something...
Telling me I'm going to get a lot of plastic surgery.
You know, beauty is actually a very deep thing. And when you get in touch with a new level of your sensitivity and when you get to move your heart and learn how to rebalance yourself quickly, your beauty will just shine through. People will feel so good around you. That's what the beauty is all about. It's like
I would love to get there.
Yeah, well, you're going to get there. You will get there. But you have to listen up to your guide because he's pushing you all the time.
Yes, okay. Do we ever know who our guides are? You know, like they say, oh, you have a guardian angel and it's your grandfather or something like.
Okay, so I got to say this about that. Your grandfather can be a guide on a certain level. The guides that you really want to work with are very, very high beings. And Grandpa's probably got those for himself. You see?
Okay.
So he can be your loving relative on the other side, but he isn't necessarily going to be your guide that way. Okay?
Oh, okay.
Your guide is going to be able to handle your multidimensionality. He's going to know your soul's journey and some of the themes that you're driving through your life in order to accomplish what you came to accomplish. And that doesn't mean just getting an Academy Award. It means expressing yourself and finding the love and presenting the love and writing those books. I don't know what kind of writing you're planning to do, but you're going to have to do that at some point.
Oh, my God, that's so funny that you said that, too, because I was literally reading something and I said, out of the blue, I was like, I'm going to start reading more because I'm going to start writing more. I'm
Good
write
girl.
That. I was like, just out of the blue. I was like, literally, like 2 days ago, I was like, oh, my God, on Easter morning, I said that. I was like, wow. Okay, I don't know where that came from. Never thought about writing a book. But then all of a sudden, I was like, I need to write a book.
But it's right in your soul journey, Beth, to present, to use words, to teach, to educate, to write, to love, to have beauty as a very deep drive. And and your guide is... The guides epitomize those things that we are aligned to do in the soul's journey. And our grandparents can love us for it and help heal the lineage and all those things that limit us. But they can't really, you don't want them to be the overarching reality because they're like you. They're on the path, right?
Right.
Do you understand the difference?
Totally. Now, is there a way that I can communicate easier with my guides besides doing the meditating that, you know, like with the way that you do it in the beginning
of the show. You can ask him to show himself better. Ask him to be very clear. Say, I really need to have a connection with you. Do it when you're in meditation or when you just work out. When you do a workout, your endorphins come into the brain. The brain changes its biochemistry and its neurotransmissional output. And it's much easier at that point to see them. And you can blur your eyes and you can see them or you can smell them or feel them or, you know what I mean? Where I used to get a scritch on the top of my head, like scritch, 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 and I knew they were trying to talk to me. And then you get your identity with them in some funny little thing you hadn't even noticed before. See?
Okay.
So you always ask in the name of whoever you pray to, I say the Christing or Mother, Father, God, and Creator Spirit, always throw some holy names in there because you don't want to draw in some crazy stuff. But this guide talks to you in sense and feeling, and he seems to have a very soft touch around your shoulders and a very protective feeling that comes up for you. That's your guide. And you can say, I feel his presence. Ask him for a little more, like when you're writing in a journal, do some clearing, do a little praying, and then ask for him to write to you or something of that ilk.
Okay.
It's often a surprise how they begin to be in touch. Don't only expect that you see them because some of them we never do see. And I have to tell you this. I was very attached to one I loved and called Joseph. But when I got to a certain point of seeing and knowing, Joseph was gone. And many other people will tell you that as well. So the guides are often to guide us through various phases of our life. So to attach to their personality is not really smart.
Okay.
And it's not necessary. I just want to smile because you are so loved by this being that stands behind you. And he keeps kind of flicking at your back saying, come on, Beth. And he's funny.
Aww.
He loves you.
Oh, that's great.
So you can.
I don't know him, but I love him.
Yeah, just go ahead and love him and ask him for signs. But I'm going to let you go because other people might be calling.
All right, thank you so much, Veronica.
Bless your heart, and thank you for being such a contributor.
Oh, all have right. a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. So that's interesting because we always know that we have guidance. We always have angels. We always have guides. But are they front and center? No. And you really basically have to ask their help. You do your praying, which clears the energy fields around you, and you ask them for help, and you ask them for evidence that they're there. That's really a kind of a fun thing to do. I remember being frustrated about this and saying, I need to know you're there. Then I get scritch, scritch at the top of my head, like you're rubbing a dog's head or something. And then little ideas pop in front of you or little situations come forward and you really get the sense that you can call it in when you want to. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, Veronica, this is Cynthia. I'm sure you're not surprised to hear from me.
Hi, Cynthia. I'm glad to hear from you.
Well, thank you. And I know we're meeting later in the week, but that maybe I can get one thing covered in this next couple moments.
Okay.
I heard you with the former caller about asking for signs
right.
from your guides.
Mm-hmm.
And earlier in my life, in different stages, I have used this technique and have been always successful in getting loud and clear messages, whether it's from my intuition, whether it's from a song, whether it's from a license plate, whether it's from a response to a prayer. You know, I've always gotten them, responded to them, so it's been a value of mine. And yet now, this past at least, well, it's been years, it seems, but especially the last 6 months, I just feel like I've been asking and asking and asking for direction, guidance, clarity, healing on every level. And yet I feel like I'm out in the middle of nowhere, lost my cell phone. lost my ability to communicate to even the part of me that's always guided me.
You know what's really interesting about that, Cynthia, is that, and I've probably said this before and for everybody at home as well, that quite often when you're in the kind of pivotal initiation time on your soul's journey, it feels like they're gone. And quite often it's that they just back up when you're in this time of reframing who you are, your ethics, your integrity, the truth of self. They just seem to back up at that point. I've had several times like that in my life. And when I look at you, I go, they're there. They're just waiting back in a ways. So you're in a time, I would say, which is sometimes scary, sometimes just crazy, where you're like in the eye of your own storm, waiting for your own decision about what to do, and then, boom, they'll be right there again.
Mm-hmm.
It's the weirdest thing, and I don't know why it has to be that way, but that's the way it is.
Well, you know, I feel like I've been okay with the waiting,
mm-hmm.
and so in...
And you haven't just been waiting, Cynthia. You've been doing a lot of things.
Yes, and so I feel like I've had a luxury of being able to wait and process.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if how accurate the feeling of not I'm getting anxious now. Like by now I should have had some insight. By now I should have a sense. By now, but you do know I have my daughter tugging on me, so I don't know if that's I'm not as free as I think I am to make a decision. I don't know if I'm as free as I thought I was.
Well, I just want to say this, that there's some kind of tension in you that stops the feeling that's going to help you make the decision. I believe you're going to make the decision in your stomach, and that sounds funny, but you know what? Often our stomach is our guide in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you're going to make, all of a sudden I see you going, I know where I'm going. And then you're off and running. And your daughter has to be okay for you to do that.
Right, and she's not okay.
She's not quite. She will be soon. She's a good soul. She just needs to have the courage of her own conviction for a while. And it's scary to do that when you're young. Eh?
Yeah, so because of my early childhood background, it's just hard for me to kind of go pursue, even if I had it, even if I knew where to go right now or what to do, I wouldn't go yet. Because I know that she's so afraid. And
my sense of you is just keep waiting and doing what you're doing, because what you're doing is turning up stones and looking at options. That's a good thing to do. And then when she suddenly goes, boing, this is what I'm doing, you will know. And I believe you'll be off and running, and she'll be fine.
Okay. So do you feel like I need to take any action steps toward gathering this information? Like, do I need to go visit these places on
Yeah,
computer?
I would. You know why? Because this is another thing for people at home. What kind of nature do you have? And I feel like your nature responds better to you going and checking it out just to feel it. And somebody else's, they might have just done some pendling on a map. But you need to dip yourself in these different places. I feel like just the trip alone is something that's good for your soul. And again, this is about following your true nature, isn't it?
Yes.
So I would say travel and enjoy it. Make little short hops for a bit. And then when your daughter makes her decision, which will be fairly soon, you'll go, okay, that's done, and now I'm going to blah, blah, blah.
Okay, and we can talk. I won't take up the radio time for other callers. We can talk later on in the week when I know we're setting up something for Friday, so we can talk more
right.
then.
Bless your heart, and you're just very, very brave, and you're getting calmer and more centered, which is wonderful to see. For everybody at home, it's important to get centered so you actually can take action from a grounded place. Right?
Thank you, Veronica.
All right, bless your heart.
Okay.
I want to talk a little bit about my paradigm shifter today is Scott Blum, B-L-U-M, and he wrote a book called Waiting for Autumn, and this book is really good, and it's all about a personal transformation. This is about a guy who he goes through a crisis, an initiation, and he starts to travel, and he changes places to live, and he encounters, of course, a person who's very shamanic, and he's in the guise of a homeless man, and the kinds of quantum leaps that come up. And it's a very, very easy to read, but very deep kind of story. It's an allegory, I think, although I think a lot of it's true. Anyway, he encounters some pretty strange psychic phenomenon. He goes through some weird energies, and he goes through a revisitation of the huge accident that took his girlfriend. I'll be with you in just one moment. And then he goes through encountering, as he starts waking up and becoming more sensitive, he starts encountering some real negativity and what he does about that. It's a very, very interesting book. And whether or not you've had the same experiences as him, it'll really push your transformation. It's a delightful read. Thank you for your call. You're on the air.
Hi, Veronica. This is Deb in Montana.
Hi, Deb. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I was just thinking about you 5 minutes ago.
5 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Good, because I've been writing you letters all day that I'll send tomorrow when you're not so busy.
Excellent.
But I want to ask you, would you like to do some work behind the veil?
Yes.
Okay, I would too. So here's the question. The question is, I have several options in terms of what I'll do. Probably from next month onward. I've been house sitting for the last 7 months, and that's kind of come to an end here, I think. And I'm confused, and I'm wondering if someone behind the veil. I don't feel like I've been thinking all day. I don't feel like there's anybody who's left me with whom I have anything I need to clear, actually. But I'm wondering if there's someone there who could help me to get clear. You know, do you think that sometimes when you feel like you're getting clearer and clearer and clearer, you reach some sort of a plateau where all of a sudden you're thrown into just, okay, right, you thought you were so clear, here, try this.
You mean a challenge? La challenge?
I mean, I know I sound a little tiny bit like the caller who you just spoke with, but it's just,
Well, it is a little bit like that, and you have a very, very strong guide. And above that, you have a series of, you have a little team of vibrational beings that show themselves in a beautiful sort of like a jagged semicircle, as if they're, you know, different heights and they're positioned well. And they show that you're very, very protected. One of the things that you're afraid of is a lack of structure, I believe. Is that it?
I'll tell you, the real thing I'm afraid of is that one of the options is to go to Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is to stay here closer to, you know, to in Missoula, where I've been for such a long time and have so many incredible friends and a really good client base. And the leap toward Portland feels like it could be wonderful, and also like it might be just nothing but a foray into kind of silliness, because it doesn't feel to me like it would take me any closer to what the... My fear is that I'm not moving quickly enough into whatever it is that I'm supposed to do next in terms of serving the divine. You know, I've done a lot of things that have kind of sort of got closure around them.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I'm like on the cusp of the next thing. And I want to take the direction now that will lead me to that next thing without monkeying around and fooling around in Portland for a couple of months just because it would be fun. It's starting to seem like that might be the really silly thing to do.
What a silly me. Okay, so here's what I see. First of all, your vibrational reality, right? You're getting stewed up inside, you know?
Right.
I know you have a lot of water in your chart, but it's like your whole body is in ripples inside, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So we want to smooth that out there. We want to smooth that out a little bit. The second thing is that Deb, for people who don't know, Deb is in her, I guess, Saturn return transition. Would you say that?
Saturn return and Jupiter return on exactly the same day.
Oh, my. Okay.
But that's next fall. So, I mean, there are a lot of things. Neptune's on my ascendant, and Uranus is on my nodes, and Pluto's on my grand square. I mean, it's huge. So,
wait a minute. You're an astrologer. Deb is an astrologer and an artist and an editor and many wonderful things. And I just want to say that those are all talking about having to get to the next level of authenticity, are they not?
Absolutely.
Yes. So the only way to hear what the authentic nature is actually to be inside and also to follow the promptings. The guys are showing art, art, art. Are you doing any art?
Yes, I am. But of course, I'm doing it for everybody else instead of making the things that I want to make in my own series. But are they saying that I should drop away from the astrology?
Nope. No, but they are saying that the root to your... If you've got, for example, a drive in your chart, and this is for other people as well, that you have to become more and more authentic, and Pluto really asks that too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Well, right now, Pluto's asking everybody to take a look at the old emotional patterns that have been holding us in place for a long time. And so, you know, we've talked about this before. The thing that always undoes me is that I understand it all theoretically, and I can give good advice to other people. But when it comes to my own life right now, the thing that's causing these ripples is my sense that we're really moving fast toward this extraordinary leap in consciousness. And so I guess what I meant about Portland was I don't want to go there and just play if that would be wasting time relative to just getting on with really being of service to all of this.
Okay, so one of the things I'm seeing is the greatest way for you to get answers is to do your art for a bit. And that the thing about Portland, I'm not sure about Portland, actually. I'm not sure that you're going to be drawn there for very long, but it's very good for you to pop about and do a bit of exploration. You know that.
Yeah.
And that's not wasting time. That's putting yourself in different environments to feed that transformation that's going on. And I suspect you'll go back inland. I think you'll head back.
But that's the question, why even bother to go there if I'm just going to come back anyway? It's a very, very, very expensive bit of play. I'd have to pay huge rent and spend a lot of money to get beds and things there. And I'm not sure it's worth it is what I guess I'm asking.
And you're sure you're not going to live in California?
I'm not sure. I'm going to call you, and we'll talk about this, like, for an hour. I'll call you, and we'll do a full-on reading.
But wait.
I just thought maybe you could get behind the veil with somebody back there that could say, Deb, Yeah,
but no, what you're getting, what you're getting from the other side is this really wonderful guidance, which is saying to refine your vision, you're going to bring your belly, your solar plexus in with you, and you're going to be centered in a new way of being and a new productivity. And little poppings around are great ways for you to kind of investigate how that's going to feel. It's probably going to take you like a few more months, like 4 or 5, maybe 6 months before you're going to really feel sure about where to settle and what to do. If you settle too soon, you're going to have this really vague kind of restlessness that's not sure about what you've done. Not sure is one of your greatest crosses. You know that?
Oh, God, I'll say. It's the dilemma of somebody with 5 planets in Pisces.
Well, and what they're saying is that your art and your surrender, those two things are really letting your guidance move through you and helping you clarify. It's not really, they're calling it indecision, but I don't see it that way. Visually, I see it more as kind of a deep confusion where parts of you haven't kind of gripped into it yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you kind of know, and yet when you get in a little bit of a stew or a panic, your knowing gets all kind of disturbed, like water.
Right.
And so they're saying, they're holding a place around you. There's a wonderful, wonderful light around you in this funny arch of beings in the vibrational realm. We're just waiting for you to move through into the next level of your authenticity. And the image they gave me is almost like there's a drill moving through you, or better, if it were a water drill, it would be like a spiraling vortex, wouldn't it? Moving through you to help you bring up the next level of yourself. And actually, you have to surrender quite a bit to just get to it.
Did you say I have to surrender?
Pretty much. That's the way to get to it, so you're not distressing yourself.
I surrender 1,000 times a day.
Good.
So I guess I'll just surrender 10,000 times a day.
Just be in surrender is probably a good way to do it. And do art. They want you to do painting and stuff. And it just seems like that's the way for you to go. It's still a deepening process that you're in. You've done a great job. But the way it's distressed right now isn't working for you. And I'm going to have to say goodbye here.
I know. Thank you, darling.
But you do have great help out there.
Yeah. And you're part of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Many blessings. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your call.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye. So this is really a time of, as Deb said, and Deb is a really good astrologer, but as Deb said, this is a time where we are making this huge shift, and we are coming into a time of being an absolutely exceptional species if we choose that. And part of it, the base, from my perspective, is the base of it, the foundation of it, is going to be the authentication of so many people, including how we collectively build our new systems and so on. And it's not an easy time because most of us are intricately woven with other people's desires and reactions, aren't we? That are really, and your own training as a child or as a soul. But we're working our way out of that. We're unscrewing that old matrix and we're creating a new one. And it's not hard to be confused like Cynthia or inundated with so many different possibilities from Deb. We're going to hear from both of them some other week. And at the top of the hour, we're going to be listening to Scott Bloom. He's a really amazing character. He started a thing called Daily... He co-started something called Daily Om, which is a daily newsletter, and it's astrological, and it's a whole marketing page and so on. It's really a delightful thing, dailyom.com. Check that out. But his book is called Waiting for Autumn, and it's about transformation. It's about the processes we go through and how blinded we get in these processes of initiation, which actually pushes to refine who we really are, like Deb wants to do, like I've really spent time doing, and many of you have. What pushes us? What kind of dramas do we go through? How do we respond? What magical beings show up? Any of you have seen the Peaceful Warrior, that movie? It's the old book, Peaceful Warrior, by Dan Millman, which is a great book. It's another one of these kinds of tales. So I'm really excited to talk to Scott Bloom about his latest book. He's from Ashland, Oregon, but some of the journey that he's been on is really mind-blowing. And one of the things he's talking about is the more you get on your path and the more conscious you get, the more challenged you get. Some of the dark stuff that comes up you think is like punishment, but it isn't. It's just a challenge. Can you hold your light or can't you? So I hope that you can tune in at 5 o'clock. Some of you have got time for that, to listen to Scott Bloom about his journey, his transitional tale, and we'll talk to him at, as I said, 5 o'clock on Paradigm Shifter. And now I'm going to be on at 8 o'clock with Jackie Salvitti and her team with ET Healing and Consciousness. I love getting to interview her team. Jackie herself is highly perceptive and is an amazing healer. And her team is a lot of fun to play with, and we're getting better and better at this interviewing process that we've been working with for a while, for over a year now, over 2 years, I think. But in any case, that's 8 o'clock on Thursday night here on wonderful BBS Radio. And I'm not sure who my guest is next week. I'm sorry, I'm doing that again. But next week we'll have another Paradigm Shifter. And then on April 28th, we're going to run the Caroline Corey interview. She is quite an amazing woman. Talk about finding out who you are and talking about the other side. She has a lot to say about levels of consciousness and how they work, and how the movement of the universes work, and so on. She's really out there, but I'll tell you what, listening to her will make you feel that a lot of this is within your own reach, that you can hear this really expanded consciousness stuff and apply it to your own lives, which is what I always want to do on Paradigm Shifters. So this is Veronica Entwistle. If you have ideas, feedback, or anything, please, or if you'd like a session with me, please email me, Veronica Entwistle, ENTWISTLE.com. That's Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com. Now let's feel love that we can draw in from the universe and these amazing high-frequency guides. Let's feel it penetrate our whole being and send it back out to one another. And I'll see you at the top of the hour. Blessings. Take your time.